Today, we're going to continue with a thought process we started talking about last week. Get your joy back, because there's a lot of things competing for the joy that God wants to instill into our life. And many things want to steal that joy, take that joy away. But we're trying to hang on to God's word, who he says we are, live in the middle of all of that, and have the kind of joy that God speaks about. You know, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit of God. In other words, what God wants to produce in you and out of you, through you. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so God is developing his Spirit in us as we do this journey called life. And out of our life, he wants that to flow out. But sometimes it's very, very difficult to have that joy flowing out of us whenever certain things are coming against us in life. So we're learning how to get our joy back. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read some verses there, starting with verse 12, and we'll read through about verse 19. And then we're going to spend a few moments basically embracing what these verses say and hopefully walk out of here today living a life filled with joy in spite of whatever we're going to face when we leave this place today. The Bible says this, beginning with verse 12. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi. He's writing from prison, so he doesn't really have a place, or he's not in a place that many people would consider of great joy. But he says, I have joy. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. In other words, I haven't reached the perfection of what God designed me for. He says, but I do this one thing. He says, I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. In other words, God has called us towards an amazing, amazing prize. Then he says in verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Any spiritually mature people in this place today? Come on, I hope there's more than that. Wow. It's called spiritual adulting. Come on, somebody. I know adulting's hard and all that good stuff. But God intends for us to mature. He doesn't intend for us to stay like little children. He intends for us to grow in our faith and understanding of who he is, what he's done in our life, and then what he wants to do through our life. And so he says, if you can't agree on certain things, it's okay. Sometimes you're going to disagree. He says, but let us all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. He says, if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. And then he writes this. And again, we're going to come back to this in just a few moments. But this is a verse that really stands out to me about having joy today that I think we all need to grab hold of. He says, but we must, he says, believe God, I believe that God will make it plain to you. He says in verse 16, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Did you know that one of the secrets to having joy in your life is to hold on to the progress you have already made with God? He goes on to say this, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. In other words, this is what I'm doing, he's saying. And learn from those who have follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct show that they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed to destruction. Now, we're not a people who are headed for destruction. We are a people who have put our faith in Christ Jesus. We have become his sons. We have become his daughters. We have put our faith in Christ Jesus. And now we are living out our purpose here on the planet, pressing towards our heavenly prize. What is our heavenly prize? It's when we will all get together as a family and we will have eternal life together with Christ Jesus. And so we're pressing towards this heavenly prize. But the Bible says that we can have joy in all circumstances. As a matter of fact, if we back up to Philippians 3 verse 1, Paul says, I've written all this stuff. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. He says, and I do it to safeguard your faith. And so today, I want to talk about how to get our joy back. And in these short verses that I read through here in Philippians chapter 3, there's some clues if you've lost your joy in the Lord, because the Lord should bring you joy, right? Now, I know circumstances and challenges, and your week last week may not have brought you joy, but there is a way to have joy in the Lord in spite of the circumstances. Remember the guy who's writing this letter, he's writing a thank you note actually to the church at Philippi for sending him some financial donations. And he's also writing to them to remind them that though they have sent the financial donations, he appreciates it. But he wants to remind them, you know, I'm in prison. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm in prison for sharing the good news of who Jesus is. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because I've learned to rejoice in all circumstances, no matter what's going on in my life. At the end of the letter, he says, I've had plenty and I've had little. And I've learned that trusting Christ and what he's done in my life is really the secret to having joy. He's not celebrating the hardships. He's simply saying that there is a way to have joy in the Lord. And so he says, first and foremost, he says, I've learned to do this one thing. He says, I've learned to let go of the past. Look at your neighbor and say, if you want to have some joy, go ahead and tell him. You want to have some joy? Go ahead and tell him. Say, let go of the past. You know, the past stalemates so many people's faith in Jesus and keeps them from having the joy of the Lord. What happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, it really shouldn't hold you back from experiencing your purpose in life and what God wants you to do in your life. Paul says, look, I've learned to put some things behind me. He says, I've learned to put my, more or less, he's saying in this passage, my past successes behind me. He says, because my past successes basically were defining who I was, and I hadn't let God define who I was. He says, but now God's defined who I was, and next to God saying who I am, he's saying, I've learned to put those things to the side, because he was learning, he was doing. The Bible says he was a very zealous person. He was running after the Jewish faith. He was doing all of these incredible things with a heart and a zeal to serve God, but he didn't recognize who God said he was. I wonder if you're serving God today in great, great fashions, but you don't recognize who God says you are first and foremost. Because see, God didn't just create you to serve him. God created you and me to be sons and daughters, to be in his image, in his likeness, and he created us to serve. But Paul didn't recognize himself as a son or a daughter first. He recognized himself as a servant first. And he did great things. He accomplished mighty feats and incredible things. He was a very strong and zealous person. But the Bible says that, you know what? Those things were sucking the joy out of him. They were sucking the joy of knowing who God said he was. And so, you know, I want to invite you today to put some things behind you. If you don't know who Christ is, or you know what, you've forgotten who he says you are first and foremost, then learn to put some things behind you before you get too busy doing and recognize who he says you are. The past paralyzes so many people. because what they do is they don't let go of their past and they embrace who they used to be and they keep going back. And if you keep going back, the joy of the Lord basically doesn't come producing through your life. God didn't create us to go back. He didn't create us to keep going back to our successes or our failures. And again, the Bible says he gave his son on a cross once and for all, for all people's sin. And we need to find that place of forgiveness of our sin that brings us into God's family, because it's Christ Jesus. The Bible calls him our brother. He's the one that came to die to put us back in a right relationship with God. And the Bible says once he forgave our sin and we put our faith in that, we become in that right relationship, and then we can begin to understand what our purpose in life is, and we can begin to fulfill that purpose as this new creature found in Christ Jesus. And so we got to learn to put some things behind us. I wrote this down in my journal, that past successes can cause us to be stagnant. In other words, people say, you know, I was successful in that. I've arrived. Happens all the time. And it's still people's joy. Past failures can make us afraid and say, I'm finished. God can't use me anymore. But I'm here to declare to you today that Paul says, I've learned to do this one thing. Put the past behind me and look forward to what is ahead. Who God says I am, and live out the calling he has on my life. My friend, I don't care where you are in life right now, or who you are, or where you came from. God has a calling on your life. God has a calling on your life. From the back of this room to the front of this room, behind that camera, he has a calling on your life. And that calling is simple this: come back to me. Become my son, become my daughter, and watch what I can do as you submit your life to me. And let me say who you are, and stop letting the world tell you who you are. Come back to me and you'll begin to experience joy. Forget who you were and move forward to who I'm creating you to be. You are created anew in Christ Jesus. So you can do the good things that God created for you to do before the foundations of the world, is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That means God has a plan, and he has a process, and he has a purpose for each and every single one of us, but we have to let go of the past. Then next I wrote down, Paul says, I let go of the past, but I keep looking forward. In other words, I keep pressing towards the prize. I keep focused on victory that I find in Christ Jesus. I know who he says I am. I'm secure in being a son or a daughter of the living God through Christ Jesus. I'm 100% secure. I don't question that, because I didn't put myself in right standing with God. Jesus put me in right standing with God, and my faith is in Jesus, not in myself. So I don't depend on what I do. I depend on what he has done and what he is doing in my life, and I look forward towards that. So many of us are depending on what we do to find joy, but it's what God wants to do through you. But you and I have to come to him first, and we have to submit our life to him and say, God, what do you want to do through me? Not just, God, what do you want to do, you know, to me to make me a better person? God, what do you want to do through me? I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a part of your family, and I want you to do amazing things through me. It's not serving out of, you know what, I got to do this, I'm earning this. No, I'm serving out of, no, I understand the family I belong to. I understand the greatness, the royalty I belong to. And I'm a son or a daughter of the living God. And he's speaking into me, and he's using me. And the gifts he's put in me are designed for a purpose. And it's not earning things. It's changing things. It's transforming things. See, when you get so busy trying to earn God's love instead of resting in God's love, you become tired. You become worn out and you want to experience the joy of the Lord. But when you rest in who he says you are, he empowers you to do what he says you can do. And he says that we are his family, and part of being his family is making him known throughout the earth. And so we have to keep looking forward to our purpose. You know, the Bible says that Jesus didn't cling to his equality with God. It says it in the same letter, Philippians chapter 2. He says he didn't cling to his equality with as being God, but he took on the form of a servant. He became a human, and he went to a cross, defeated death, and rose from a grave. And the Bible says the reason he endured a painful cross was because he was looking forward. He was looking at what his purpose here on earth, serving as a servant, would do. The Bible says he endured the cross for the joy set before him in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For the joy set before him. In other words, there's a joy set before him which allowed him to press through the pain of the cross. I want you to understand, life brings painful situations. However, there's a God who sets joy for you whenever you're fulfilling your purpose. And you have to keep pressing through that pain, pressing through the ridicule, pressing through the past. And what I've learned is the distance I will really run in life with the hope I have in Christ Jesus is determined by what I've put my hope in. See, the reason some people's life, whenever something happens, it sucks all the joy out of them, is because their hope is in something, and they're not looking forward to what Christ Jesus has done and what he is doing through their life. So we have to look through those things and our hope. I get disappointed too, just like you do. I get disappointed every day. But disappointment doesn't keep me from experiencing hope in who Christ Jesus is and what he's gonna do. So I can have joy in the midst of my disappointment. Joy doesn't mean I'm some frilly, you know, a person blowing them bongo things or whatever every single day and having a big party. Joy means I'm secure in my hope. And because I'm secure in my hope, I can keep pressing through the pain, the challenges, and I don't have to run around being a big, you know, cheerleader every day of my life. I can just walk in the joy of the Lord because I know my purpose. See, knowing your purpose allows joy to be expressed in your life and come through your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the only way you can produce that is to let it be produced in you first. In other words, that's the fruit. That's the evidence of what God is doing in your heart and in your life. And I invite you to look at your life. Is holistically, is your life, I'm not saying consistently, you haven't achieved perfection yet. I'm not saying all those things at one time, but is that consistently what's beginning to manifest itself out of your life? Are you becoming more joyful? More joyful as life goes on. And again, we have to forget some things, put some things behind us. We have to look forward. And then the last thing I wrote down about having joy, which I want to camp out on for several minutes today, because I really think this is where a lot of people lose it. He says, you know, whether you can forget the things and look forward, he says, let us agree on some things. He says in Philippians 3, verses 15 and 16, let us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree at some point, he says, I believe that God will make it plain to you. But whatever you do, he says, you must hold on to the progress we have already made. So I have to put some things behind me. I have to look forward towards some things. But I must, if I'm going to experience joy in my life and get my joy back, I have to hold on to the progress I've already made in Christ Jesus. So how do you hold on to the progress you made? Well, I was thinking about this a little bit yesterday. And one of the things that we do here at Valorous Church, and we're going to be doing it on September the 18th in this particular service, is we do something called family dedications. What is family dedications? Family dedications is where people, parents, bring their kids, or sometimes it's grandkids, or it's the guardian of the kids, but they bring them up on stage. And we, as a family of believers, as a church family, and them as the parental family, we dedicate those kids to the Lord. Because the Bible says that children are a gift from God. And they're a gift from God for us to basically say, God, thank you for the gift. And we're going to do all we can as human beings and as a family to steward those kids. And we thank you for that. So what we do is we dedicate the kid. Oftentimes it's a baby. We say, we're dedicating this kid back to you so that this kid can make progress in their life, and we're going to do all we can to help them make progress in their life. That's what a family dedication is us just saying, look, we're saying that we want to stand with these gifts, and we want to help them make progress and grow up in their faith so that they can experience the joy of the Lord. So we do these family dedications. Now, here's the thing. It's when we do those family dedications. At the end of it, we give the parents and those who are with the kids, we give them a tool. And one of the tools we give them is a little book that we put together called Seven Milestones of Life. And what is that book about? It's not something for them just to throw on a shelf. It's actually a way to celebrate your children's progress and celebrate what God's doing in their life. And so there's seven milestones. And the first one is the dedication. And there's a way to celebrate that. And that book begins to talk about what that celebration looks like so the family can experience the joy of what God's doing through that moment. The next one is understanding and putting their faith, that child's faith. The next milestone is when they put their personal faith in who Jesus is for salvation. And so there's a way to celebrate that and celebrate their progress. And then it keeps going through elementary school, middle school, high school, on into being a young adult and helping them move into adulting. Because adulting's hard, right? Yeah, it is. And adulting is sometimes hard. And the way people become people who can be an adult and the adult that God has created them to be, move from their childlike ways into being an adult, is to have these milestones of progress to look back and say, you know what? I made it this far. I know I got a long ways to go, but I made it this far. And if I made it this far, guess what? I'm going to be able to keep going the distance and accomplishing things. That's what the Seven Milestones book that we put together is all about. It's to help those kids make progress. Now, here in this passage, Paul says, hold on to the progress you already made. And so if I'm going to hold on to the progress I've already made, though I see where I'm going, I have to understand, and I haven't reached there yet, but I don't get paralyzed because I haven't reached yet. I look back enough to know that I'm not where I used to be, but I'm a lot further down the road, and I'm making progress. I'm going to hold on to the progress. I am not who I was before Christ Jesus came into my life. I am not who I was in the past. I am not that. God saved me from that. He's taken me on a journey, and I'm making progress. My friend, you got to hold on to the progress that God has already done in your life in order to reach the perfection he's calling you to. Hold on to the progress. Hold on to the progress. Set up some milestones. What milestones have you set up? What have you overcome? Look at it. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not where I once was. I have come further down the road. See, God is about working things out of you and putting new things in you so you can be everything he has created you to be and serve in his family, and you're making progress. The Spirit doesn't leave you alone. The Spirit of God keeps nudging, he keeps teaching, he keeps discipline, he keeps working you. And the way he works you is so you can make progress and have the joy of the Lord flowing out of your life. My friend, you are doing better than you think you are. And the enemy wants you to feel defeated. He doesn't want you to think that, you know what, the joy of the Lord is yours to take hold of. But my Bible says, because of what Christ Jesus has done, I can have joy in all circumstances. I don't care what they did. I don't care what I heard. I don't care what I did. You know what? I can put those things behind me and I can turn my heart towards God and say, God, there is hope out in front of me, and my hope is bigger than any circumstance, any challenge. And I know you brought me through something once. You'll bring me through it again, and I'm making progress. I'm doing better than I think I am. And my friend, you got to keep moving forward. The secret to joy is knowing your purpose and knowing who you are as a person. In other words, who are you today? Are you a son or a daughter of the Most High God? Do you understand who he says you are first and foremost? Have you received that by faith? Because my friend, it's why Jesus came, is to bring you into the family and build you up in who he says you are and take you on a journey. And you can let the enemy cloud your mind. You can let him blind your mind. Again, you're not what you do. You're who God says you are. And my friends, you do things out of knowing who you are as a son or a daughter, but you're not defined by, you know what, your task or your skill or what you do. You're defined by who you belong to, and your joy comes because you belong to God's family. My friend, he created you, and he created you for significance. Is the joy of the Lord resonating in your heart today, or does something else have you paralyzed? Because the enemy wants to lie to your soul. He don't want you to rejoice in all circumstances, in all challenges. He don't want you to hang on to that joy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And God says, hold on to the progress. You're doing better than you think you are. Don't let go of the faith you have in Jesus Christ. Let nothing snuff that out. You know, oftentimes what I see is when difficult moments come in after our life, even in my life, sometimes my faith starts to fade. And honestly, that's the time when my faith needs to strengthen and get stronger. And I need to lean more into who God is so he can keep building me up. My friend, the joy comes from having faith in God and who he says you are and walking it out in the process of life. Let's get our joy back. And let's not let the enemy take it away. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing, amazing God. And I pray we could be a people to get our joy back, the joy that's found in Christ Jesus. God, your word says we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And God, that means we can get through all circumstances. We can press through all challenges. God, we can begin to experience you no matter what's going on in our life. Jesus, thank you for being our example, for enduring the horrific cross because of the joy set before you. And Jesus, you pushed through that pain, you pushed through that persecution, you pushed through all the things that cross required of you to make us sons and daughters. Jesus, thank you. Because you had joy, you knew that God was gonna make us a big family. And we're gonna do amazing, amazing things. And you saw us, your brothers and your sisters, and you wanted us to be a part of your family. So you pressed through the circumstances and the challenges. God, help us put some things behind us. Help us press towards the future and help us hold on by faith to the progress that we've already made in Christ Jesus. God, if there is one here today that hasn't made that decision, young or old, God, no matter how long they sit here or haven't sit here, if they've never made the decision to put their faith in you, Jesus, as their Savior, their rescuer, their sustainer, the one who loves them, then may today be the day that they say, God, today I'm ready to do it your way and not my way. God, forgive me of missing the mark of your glorious standard of my sin. Thank you for giving Jesus so I can be healed, so my heart can be made whole again, so I can begin to have joy in the connection to you, my heavenly Father, and get on with doing what you've called me to do as a human being. Tell God, thank you for the gift of Jesus, the love he showed on that cross to forgive you of that sin. Tell God, thank you for the power he exhibited through the resurrection. And tell God, you look forward from this day forward to continue to make progress. And may the joy of the Lord be your strength. May the joy of what God is doing in your life right now, right this moment, be the strength that you draw from every single day, no matter what the circumstance. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.